Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast, where we are recording the latest I think we have ever recorded when it was not a post-game podcast, Sean. For good reason, though, because Penn State surprised us with a pickup, not for the 2022 recruiting class, not for the 2023 recruiting class, but for 2021 plans. That's right. Hello, Jordan Vandenberg, committed upon getting offered by Penn State Tuesday, visiting campus. He's a junior college defensive lineman. And as you first reported, Sean, shortly after this commitment, he will be joining the team this month.
Yeah, it's a very quick question and answer there. Vandenberg came in on a visit on Tuesday. Penn State had been tracking him for a while. This is a kid that really burst onto the scene. He was a freshman at Iowa Western, was an all-conference pick as a defensive lineman, went to Nebraska, worked out, got an offer, went to Iowa, worked out, got an offer. I just assumed he was going to turn around and commit to Iowa. I mean, his name is Jordan Vandenberg, which to me sounds just like an Iowa defensive lineman. Actually, our Iowa site kind of felt the same way. So we had them check this morning, actually, to see if he actually made the trip. He did. It didn't take long. Penn State worked him out, was very, very impressed with his workout. I've heard from three separate people since this commitment happened how impressive this defensive line workout was for Jordan Vandenberg. Offered him on the spot, committed on the spot, and boom. I mean, done and dusted. That was quick. It was one of those surprising commitments, but because this guy walked into his trip or his visit without an offer, it was kind of out of left field. It was moved faster than a lot of, but with good reason. As we said, he's going to enroll this weekend. He's going to join the team for the 2021 cycle. This is kind of fascinating because even though he did play this spring at Iowa Western, he still retains his eligibility because that didn't count. That didn't count for anybody at the college level, at junior college level. That's why guys like Tyrese Mills have 4 years to play three. Penn State just offered an offensive lineman from Lackawanna. JB Nelson still got 4 years to play three. So that changes the game a little bit for junior college players. So basically you're bringing him in as a 2021 recruit, despite that experience at the junior college level with 2021 eligibility. So he's got five full years to play four. So that's a bonus right there. You're bringing in a guy with a year of some level of college experience with the rest of your freshmen, and whether or not he uses that red shirt, still very much up in the air. But it's just an interesting position to find yourself in a week before the second summer session.
Yeah, you have Jordan Vandenberg played spring ball at Iowa Western Community College, and you have Rodney McGraw, who had spring practice with the Penn State Nittany Lions as an early enrollee, and now they're going to be in the same room in the same eligibility standpoint, 1 year apart in the high school graduation, but that's the way it shapes up because of the NCAA structure. What an interesting path for this young man. It's a player who was born in South Africa, moved to the United States at 10 years old. You documented this in the article you put up after he committed, ends up in Georgia, then ends up at Iowa Western Community College just in the past year, Sean. So how does he go from the point where I'm looking at his 24/7 sports profile right now, when he was at Providence Christian Academy in Georgia, there is no rating, there is no ranking, there are no offers, and now he's committing to what looks to be one of the premier programs in the Big Ten for his entire career? What do we make of this journey?
It's really fascinating because he was a high school linebacker. I mean, this wasn't even a kid that went to junior college to play the position that he played in high school. Really, as he told our Nebraska site last week, he bet on himself. He walked on at Iowa Western and all of a sudden just kind of blew up. And 6'3", 280 pounds, ran the 40 and 4.75 today for Penn State. So 20 tackles and one sack in five games at Iowa Western. And he did that workout today, had a little bit of a knee issue that hampered him through his other workouts, but still Iowa saw enough to offer him. Nebraska saw enough to offer him. So Just really fascinating rise. I mean, this kind of comes out of nowhere. And, you know, for all the feeling bad we did for the junior college kids at during COVID and not being able to play, all of a sudden you've got two commitments in the last month from junior college players, albeit in different classes, and it seems to be working out pretty well for them. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating how quickly this one came onto the radar. But as I said, that workout must have been something, because that's all the buzz right now. And pretty crazy to think that he'll be coming in. And you think about what Penn State did in the 2021 class, obviously did not fill all of their spots. This was a spot that they earmarked for a guy like George Rooks, who ended up at Michigan, who Penn State thought was going to sign in the early signing period. He did not. And then all of a sudden you're still getting that defensive tackle with the same amount of eligibility, but it looks like he's a little bit further developed than some of those classmates. So I think that's really, as things go, this is a great way to end the dead period. Cause I think we've seen a little bit of everything in that 2021 class. So why not tack on a junior college kid who just kind of came out of nowhere, came in, worked out, used the new workout rules. That's probably another overlooked aspect of this. Use the new workout rules to his advantage and has really made the most of it. So yeah, if your head's not spinning after that one, I don't know what to tell you.
He's in the same high school class for 2020 that produced a couple four-star composite Penn State signees at the position, Cole Brevard, Keziah Izzard. You also had Fatorma Mulba in that class for Penn State. And we talked about it. Defensive tackle has a lot of bodies there and a lot of eligibility left in the tank for Penn State. You add another one here. Sean, expectations, I know we're still trying to come to terms with what happened today and what Penn State saw, and very clearly an impressive performance. You mentioned some of the testing numbers there, but all we have is a few games at the junior college level at this point. And we also have what we've heard about from camp. To me, it's hard to project him making an impact on the field this fall, but I don't know much about the guy, I'll be honest with you, as we sit down and record.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of his film, but I mean, I'm not going to go out and say that I know a ton about this kid. And it's really, I think you hear junior college and you think, okay, you're bringing in a guy that's a little bit more mature. You're bringing in a guy that's ready to go. This guy is still basically at the tail end of his freshman year. So it's not exactly one of those cut and dry JUCO situations, not that they're ever cut and dry. So yeah, I don't really expect him to step right in and be a guy that can plug gaps, especially with the numbers that they have ahead of him at defensive tackle. So this is probably a typical developing guy. I mean, if he redshirts this year, it wouldn't be all that surprising. 6'3", 280. So for as Big Ten defensive tackles go, a little bit undersized there, but he'll certainly have room to put that on. So it's very curious how this works out. And you look at kind of how they've balanced their numbers, and you have a few scholarships left open for that 2021 class where you can get a guy in right away. You can have him join the program. And, you know, if you feel that he can contribute and you feel that those workouts that you saw can translate into Big Ten play, it makes sense to throw numbers at. And I know defensive tackle's kind of a train wreck when we talk about scholarship numbers and things like that. But if you feel good enough about this guy that you're moving on him right away and making it happen within the span of a week, I think it says a lot about it.
So Penn State has now added 5 scholarship players to their defensive line for the 2021. Doesn't seem like a big number. This is also John Scott. You know, it's been really interesting to see him as a position coach at Penn State without having the access to prospects and the acquisitions. Add this to that list. And here's what they've got now, Sean. You've got senior eligibility for Derek Tangelo at defensive tackle, who transferred in from Duke. Arnold Ebikade, who was certainly a buzzy name during spring practice at defensive end, junior eligibility after transferring in from Temple. Then you've got Rodney McGraw, defensive end, who came in as an early enrollee in January. Devon Townley, who was the last addition to this class on signing day, he follows up in a few weeks for his summer enrollment. And now Jordan Vandenberg. You've got 3 guys with some college experience, Ebikade and Tangelo, certainly at the Division I level, much different than a few games at Iowa Western. And then McGraw and Townley, you're just, I don't find a huge impact when we get past Tangelo and Ebikade. And unless Vandenberg continues this astronomical rise that he's on all of a sudden and ends up on the football field this September, just it's going to be a lot of familiar names there. And then the two older transfers.
Well, we hear transfer and we think, okay, that's a guy that can come into play right away. And as I said earlier, I don't think Vandenberg is that guy. So McGraw still a long way away. I think Davon Townley probably even further away because McGraw was able to get in and have the spring and at least get assimilated to the weight program and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, you're still looking for the 2021 outlook. You're still looking at Ebikete probably as number one, Tangelo is number two, and then a sizable gap between the next couple. So not really surprising in terms of instant impact guys. I do see, you know, I know I mentioned he's kind of undersized, 6'3", 280. That's kind of funny in itself, but definitely an interior guy for them in the long run, athletic, but I don't think you're putting them on the edge. And you've got guys like Amin Vanover, you know, you got Hakeem Beamon potentially playing out there as well. So I don't really see a spot for him to come in and play right away. That's probably the thing that we're going to have to do is shake that junior college label. Cause he's essentially, you know, just probably like he would almost be like a Joseph Darkwa coming in as a 19, 20 year old freshman or what have you. So he's still got those 5 years to play for. He's got the red shirt if they need it, but I mean, he's just a little bit further on in his life experience.
And here's what I've got as far as freshman eligible defensive tackles on this team, Sean. It's a pretty long list. You've got Joseph Darkwa. Fatoma Mulba, Amin Vanover, Devon Ellis, Cole Brevard, Kaziah Izzard, and now you add Vandenberg. There's just a lot of guys that have a lot of college football potentially to play ahead of them. And we'll find out soon because Vandenberg arrives on campus, and this one was a surprise. Not going to sugarcoat it. There's a reason we're recording after 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, and there's a reason that Sean Fitz's backyard is currently only half mowed.
It's actually the front yard.
The front yard.
The backyard is not mowed at all.
That's even worse, though.
I was getting some nice sunset mowing in, and then all of a sudden James Franklin pops up with the We Are Better tweet. And, yeah, from there it's kind of a full-blown sprint inside to see what's going on. And luckily we had some background because we had him visiting, and we had looked up some, you know, done some research on him earlier today. You know, there was a couple of junior college guys on campus. So wasn't completely out of left field, but when these offers come in, that's the thing. We're talking camp offers, these unofficial visit workout offers. I mean, there's always the element that somebody could hop on it right away. And, you know, this is not really how we drew it up, but at the same time, it's one of those things that certainly makes sense in hindsight. So, and speaking of which, there's a little housekeeping to be taken care of in terms of this episode and our next episode this week. We did finally catch up with Andy Frank this evening, actually. That's kind of why we're recording late anyway. We caught up with him for a lengthy conversation. That's actually going to be pushed to the second episode this week. This stuff a little bit more timely, especially coming off the big visit weekend. And Andy, having him on, he can't talk specifics. It's not like we're going to ask him, how was Keon Sobb's visit? You know, that's not the sort of thing that we can ask him. So we're going to push that one to later in the week. Very enlightening conversation with Penn State's director of player personnel. But yes, that's another reason why we're going here at 10:30 at night on a Tuesday.
Yeah, we couldn't ask him those kind of specific questions, easy for me to say, but we did ask him a ton of questions and we covered a lot of ground. So look forward to that, sharing with that with you guys a little bit later in the week. For recruiting nerds and junkies out there, you're going to learn a lot, and I think you're going to like that conversation. But back to what we just saw take place at Penn State this weekend and in the days that followed, you mentioned Tyrese Mills coming on board as a junior college commit in the 2022 cycle, another JUCO guy now, Vandenberg joining the 2021 class essentially, and then another offer out, guess what, at Lackawanna College in Scranton, Pennsylvania, offensive lineman JB Nelson picks up an offer, got to campus this weekend, Sean, and where have we seen this one play out before?
Yeah, right. Wrote about JB Nelson last week coming in. Just seemed to be some intrigue about where he stood. And again, these junior college guys, he's got 4 years to play three. So it's kind of a different situation where you're – is it 4 years to play three? Yeah, I think he's got 4 years to play three. Sorry, I'm doing math in my head, and that never works out for good radio. So I apologize. But yeah, he's got some time left on his eligibility clock, which helps. He's a guy that came in, tested extremely well, still very raw, which you would expect from a junior college offensive lineman. Penn State kind of been hit and miss with their junior college acquisitions. They've had a great relationship with Lackawanna. Paris Palmer, probably unfair to judge that one harshly because of the injury that he had, especially when he seemed to be coming into his own. Anthony Wigan has not really broken through yet, although he was out there with the ones and twos in the spring, so that the book very much is still very much out on Anthony Wigan. But Nelson seemed to be a guy wherever he goes, kind of like Vandenberg. Wherever he went to West Virginia, worked out, was impressive. They offered. He went to Penn State, worked out. They offered. Wants to go to Ole Miss again, wants to go to Ole Miss. Check them out. He's already got an offer from Ole Miss. So this is another one where I would think all the things kind of point Penn State's way. He's from the Pittsburgh area. He's from been to Penn State before on a junior day back in 2019. So it's kind of all worked out for him. And again, we felt bad for the junior college guys, but they seem to be making the most of it.
Five Lackawanna products on the current Penn State roster. That includes a walk-on punter in Bradley King. You're looking at another Lackawanna addition, at least one next year with Tyrese Mills. We'll see if they double dip once again. That would be the third time in four cycles where they would sign multiple Lackawanna college players. Another offensive lineman who picked up an offer in the 2022 Classic High I caught up with on Monday night, Sean, Alessandro Lorenzetti, who is out of Montreal, Quebec, but currently enrolled at the Loomis Chafee School in Windsor, Connecticut. That's a school to keep on your radar, Penn State fans. I think they have three guys with Penn State offers, taking a long look there at the quarterback, Dante Reno, from the 2024 class that was on campus this weekend as well. But there, Loomis Chafee, he will be coming up on a decision before he gets back to campus, essentially what he said, Sean. Going back to the Chafee school in August, hopes to have a decision in July. Penn State is bookmarked for a trip, going to be a two-day trip, 15th and 16th this month on official visit. Has official visits lined up to Michigan State, Virginia Tech, Duke, and Vanderbilt. So he is jamming and totally packing it in this month. I again, one of those things where I just wonder how some of these recruits are going to get to the finish line and feel like they did enough, or if they can make a decision. He seems like he wants to get there. Him and Troutwine have had a lot of conversations leading up to this offer. He's a guy that they view as a versatile component, tackle, guard, center. It's all on the table for him. He is a player who got some Power 5 interest in Canada, realized he could get a lot more if he came to the States. We've seen this path play out for guys like Christian Veyer, Jesse Luketta in the past, and here he is kind of following that process. It ended up really ramping up his FBS options, and he's a guy that I think is very high on Penn State. And I would not be surprised at all if he continues that theme of Canadian prospects ending up with Penn State's classes. And we got a little while to go here. He's going to have to check out some other schools. Penn State has other offensive linemen that they're conversing with, but this is one that didn't require a camp visit. I want to make that clear, Sean. A lot of schools requested that he would show up to camps or do some private workouts. Didn't feel like he could log that many miles. And a lot of this was based on virtual interactions, which, kind of tells the tale of how a lot of Penn State's recruiting has gotten done of late.
I think probably the most surprising thing is you reached out to me and said, hey, can I get in touch with him, or have I gotten in touch with him? And I said, no, he's Canadian. He's all you. So that's really the surprising thing to me is you weren't all over this one from the start. But actually, Brian Doan wrote about him a couple of weeks ago. We could kind of see this offer coming and taking root. And I would not be surprised if this was a guy that came in for the 15th and 16th. I think there's a camp that he's planning on working out. If things go well at that camp, I could see him, setting up an official visit quickly, or, potentially being a part of this class. I feel like Penn State has really establish that relationship well. He's a big fan of Phil Troutwine. His coach, Jeff Moore, was actually the coach of Tyler Rudolph at St. Thomas More. So very, very familiar with the Penn State staff. And I think just based off of his offer list, Michigan State, Virginia Tech visits, Duke, Vanderbilt, says a lot about his academic standing there. But at the same time, I think he really, really likes the package that Penn State presents with the balance of academics and athletics.
That's one that Coach Troutwine will have a chance to kind of sink his teeth into a bit more once they get into person. Troutwine talking about the importance of meeting face-to-face. It's already resulted in an offer for J.B. Nelson. This one's still long distance. That will change in a matter of weeks, though, as Lorenzetti gets to campus. He's keeping that fifth official visit in his back pocket, Sean, just to note that. if Penn State is the pick, expect him back on campus in the fall using that official visit. There's also some movement in the 2024 class. Both guys out of Virginia, one at IMG Academy, cornerback Desmond Ricks picks up an offer. He was on campus. A few IMG players were as well, two on an official visit. And then offensive lineman Fletcher Westfall out of Virginia as well. I think he's listed 6'7", 280+. The picture told the story. You and Mark were over there, and Grace Brennan as well, snapping a bunch of photos of these prospects as they were on campus. And this kid stood out and clearly did the same for the Penn State staff.
Yeah, he's 6'7", and he's just a baby. I mean, you look at his picture, he looks like a young kid that grew really, really fast, but Penn State liked what they saw at camp. They were able to get him in, work him out, and I think that's a kid whose offer list is going to steadily climb over the next couple of years.
As I said, Rick's out of Virginia, down in IMG. We've seen IMG collect a lot of talent. Drew Shelton's down there now, Penn State's commit. And a couple guys who were up for official visits, Keon Saab, considered the number one athlete in 24/7 sports rankings out of New Jersey. And then four-star running back Catron Allen out of Virginia. He was also on campus. This is, a program that it's only been around since 2013, but it is a one that you have to prioritize. Penn State has done a pretty good job with that. They've got a lot of offers out with that program. They've signed players out of there. Noah Kane, KJ Hamler, quarterback Michael O'Connor back in 2014. The list of offers grows. And where do you think coming out of these visits, Saab, Allen, is there something to hold on to for a Penn State fan in those recruitments?
You know, Saab, I think his family's pretty well sold on Penn State. It's just a matter of Keon's a very quiet kid. He's obviously got his eye. I think this is no surprise to our listeners. Clemson, Georgia have his attention. Some other schools are getting a visit. I think A&M's getting a visit as well. So I think that one's going to be a tough one to crack right there. Probably the most pleasant surprise, Catron Allen, is seemed to be impressed. I know Steve Wilfong caught up with him a little bit after his visit. He's not a very talkative kid in terms of interviews and things like that. So I think Penn State really impressed Catron Allen, and I hesitate to put in a forecast or anything like that because you're not sure where Penn State's going to, at the end of the month, where they're going to be with their running back recruiting. Of course, got Nick Singleton coming in this weekend, Omarion Hampton at the end of the month, some other guys coming in, later on in June. But I think Penn State really, really helped themselves with Catron Allen this week. It'll be interesting to see what his next step is.
Also happening on campus this weekend, we saw Ryan Brubaker get back, and he was there in Beaver Stadium in late April for that last scrimmage that was opened up to the public. Back in town, a legacy kid. We talked about this, a four-star composite offensive line prospect. A lot of names to monitor on the offensive line, more incoming on the official visit. Ryan Brubaker was very active to start June, got out to Stanford, made that cross-country trip, returned to Pennsylvania, got to Happy Valley. And coming out of this one, Sean, reading Brian Doan's commentary and just kind of the reporting here, certainly doesn't seem like anything is signed, sealed, delivered based on the legacy aspect.
I think that that's probably been the case the entire time. Is you thought maybe, okay, there's a scenario where he comes to Penn State, says, okay, this is where I'm meant to be, et cetera, and shuts it down. I think the chances of that were still pretty small. And he wants to see South Carolina. He wants to see Vanderbilt. He wants to see some of these schools down south. So I think that's probably the scenario that was most likely to play out. And it looks like it's going in that direction. By the way, he took a Stanford official visit and then came home, went straight to the Penn State official visit. So that kid's got to be tired this week, man.
I think everybody who's has involved with college football recruiting is a little more tired than they were going into the week. And that includes you and Mark, who were camped out at Beaver Stadium and doing what you could to cover the event. Just full transparency, we're not able yet to be on the field for these camps. We hope maybe that changes over the course of the summer. There's a lot still to come.
On the field or in the building. That's the thing. We're standing out front with cameras. So we're relying on folks that might be inside, might be watching, might be doing all that kind of stuff. And of course, we're catching up with a lot of players, a lot of updates on the site over the last couple of days.
A ton of updates. And we should tell you, Brian Doan's going to have more information on the newest Penn State commit, Jordan Vandenberg. He's catching up with him tonight. We just heard that. So by the time you hear this podcast, the story will probably be up online 24/7.
It's already up.
Doan is fast. He's a pro. When we come back here in the Lions 24/7 podcast, we'll wrap things up with some commentary on what this past weekend meant for Penn State commits, a little bit on the search for a quarterback talent and offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich getting on the camp circuit with Penn State. And we'll finish off with a five-star mailbag, I should say. Stay with Sean and I. This is the Lions 24/7 podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, working our way through everything that's gone down in Penn State and recruiting and all that here on campus here in the last few days. We mentioned before the break, three official visitors. That is the smallest number you will see in terms of official visitors for weekends here throughout the month. But there were a ton of unofficial visitors on campus, including some notable targets in the 2022 class.
Yeah, Keenan Nelson, the cornerback from St. Joe's Prep in Philly, was a late addition to the weekend. And that's an interesting one because he was on campus on Sunday, came up with another teammate who camped, and he's going to be back this weekend for an official visit. So I like where Penn State stands. I've actually put in a pick on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball for him, kind of a just in case he was going to hop on board last weekend. He did not, but we know he wants to get to South Carolina. Check that out. He's got a good relationship. They've done a really good job recruiting him in South Carolina, but I still feel like Penn State's in the driver's seat there. Sherrod Koval from Virginia was up. The 2022 safety. He's got offers from everywhere. Penn State, kind of got him a chance to put themselves in a position for an official visit. Seems like things going well there. I still don't think they're at the top of the list, but seem to be one of those schools that's sort of sticking it out through the process. I know Clemson's very high on his list. He went to Ohio State after going to Penn State. He's high on them as well. So big competition there for Sherrod Koval. No Sean Murphy this weekend. I think we said that on the podcast last weekend that he was coming in with a bus trip that was going to all these SEC schools and then coming up to Penn State on Sunday. Shockingly, that did not happen. They've rescheduled for later in the month, his coach told me. So we'll see if that does happen. Then in the future classes, 2023, Alex Birchmeyer is a kid that's got some crystal ball picks in for Penn State right now. He was up on campus all weekend. Tamir Robinson, who we've talked about a bunch out of Pittsburgh. So a ton of talent on campus. As we mentioned, a lot of updates on the site over the last couple of days from Tyler, from myself, from Brian Doan, some Steve Wilfong as well. So very busy weekend. And it's kind of just getting started in June.
And Sean, you just covered so much territory. I just have to remind myself this was only the first weekend. We've got, they're coming in succession now, and this summer is going to be wild to cover. One thing we were looking forward to was the Penn State commits getting back to campus. It meant a lot to them. You've heard them on the podcast during these recent months. And about getting to this point, they finally were able to do that. It wasn't the huge group that we're going to see. It's going to be essentially a class reunion later here in the month when they have official visits in the final week of June. But Caden Saunders, Drew Aller, Mekhi Flowers, Ken Talley, Tyrese Mills commits on campus this past weekend. For Mills, it was his first trip to campus. You heard him on this podcast just a couple weeks ago. I caught up with him on Monday. I can tell you his enthusiasm has not dwindled since that conversation here on the podcast. Certainly motivated by his experience. It was his first time actually spending time in person with those Lackawanna safeties who went on to play at Penn State. Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown, played some pickup basketball with guys. He was on campus all weekend long, Sean, from Friday into Sunday. And that was alongside Sean Battle, a 2023 defensive back target out of Philadelphia as well. And Ken Talley, who has, I mentioned, returning to campus with this 2022 commit group. And one thing that I really took away from speaking with Caden Saunders, you spoke with Drew Aller. Both those guys were participants in camp action. I know Caden was really excited to work with Taylor Stubblefield. It's a relationship that has really evolved since Stubblefield took the job. Remember, they offered Saunders well before Stubblefield was the wide receivers coach here. They weren't able to meet in person until this past weekend. But I can tell you, Caden Saunders enjoying the quiet life right now. He says the texts are no longer coming in. He's not getting blown up by other college football programs because he put out that recruitment shutdown tweet. It has worked as he wished it would. And right now he's just kind of locked in on his senior season and putting together a really strong class. I can tell you, speaking with some of these guys, Sean, I'm sure you have heard the same. They are coming back to campus for this final week of June on a mission to build this class. They've got some guys in their crosshairs. And if you talk to them, they feel like this class is going to be substantially bigger by the time mid-July rolls around.
Yeah, and speaking of Saunders specifically, popped a couple 4-4s for the staff this weekend, had a great camp. Drew Aller said he had a really good time thrown to him and Flowers. Ken Talley, a really good camp on the other side. We did not get to see, not that we got to see anybody, but Mills did not camp. Malik McNeil was also up, the big offensive tackle from New York, got a chance to work with Phil Troutwine. So just a very busy, big weekend. And I think it kind of sets the table. It's always nice to have those things because you say, okay, you're bringing these guys in at the end of June for their official visits. And it'd be nice to get them on campus just to start to sort of form that bond. You know, Jerry Cross was not there. A couple other guys, Anthony Ivey was supposed to come up, but he did not come up. But it's a nice chance to build that bond, to get those guys comfortable around one another. And then it's sort of a pre-visit, you know, it's sort of an engagement for their June 25th visit. And I think that's going to be a very busy one. You mentioned Saunders has some targets coming up that weekend. So it's going to be a lot going on. It feels like it's not that far away, but considering how much action we've seen just over the first week of June, it's probably going to feel like a long time for us.
I have a story up today on Tuesday on Caden Saunders. You have a story up on Drew Aller. I'll have something up on Tyrese Mills in that conversation. We'll continue to provide feedback from what these guys are seeing, what they're doing, because right now they are an extension of the staff. That's why it's so important to have them on the campus for these things. They can have the conversation with recruits. It's a different dynamic that's in play that hasn't been in play for this Penn State program or anyone else across the country for a year and a half now. So to have these guys on campus, helping the staff, nudging guys towards a commitment potentially. There's a lot to like about how that situation shapes up. We've talked about before how Penn State exits that dead period in a really good spot with the foundation they've laid for 2022. One thing I found was interesting, speaking of Drew Aller, Sean, was the way some of these other quarterbacks, I spoke with 2023, 2024 guys, and a few of them mentioned it was really cool to watch Drew Aller go about his business and kind of viewing him with this, you know, a bit of an aura of that blue chip Elite 11 finalist, which we mentioned before. He's kind of built up, you know, a brand in the quarterback community among these prospects as a name to know. And so working with him and Mike Yurcich was kind of a highlight for these kids. And there were a lot of them on campus. I mean, Mike Yurcich had to be thrilled to be standing alongside Drew Aller on a football field and watching him throw the ball downfield and giving him feedback in live time. Been a long time to get to that point, but there was a lot of other quarterbacks in these drills, Sean, 2023 guys, 24 guys, and junior college guys, as you reported, a couple of them getting to campus, not just during the weekend, but into this week.
Well, speaking to your point, I mean, with Drew Aller, that's the kind of clout that a Rivals 3-star brings to the table, I guess. So everybody's kind of awed by that. But that's kind of the measuring stick that we started out with Mike Yurcich to see what kind of draw he would have. And all of a sudden, you know, Bo Edmondson from Texas pops up on campus. And that's not one that we expected. I think Penn State had offered 8 2023 quarterbacks at that point. Edmondson's one of them. You mentioned JJ Cole from Iowa. He's got an Iowa State offer, and really anybody in the 2023 or 2024 classes with an offer right now is kind of worth watching. So it seems to be drawing in. We've heard a couple other quarterbacks have made plans for June to work with Yurcich, and I think it's kind of taken care of itself from that aspect. So very curious to see what this quarterback board looks like in the next couple of classes after June, going into July. Maybe they have you know, a good turnout for the final weekend in July, which will do the Lash Bash and they'll do the other standout camps and things like that. But yeah, it seems like so far it's good returns and guys that really want to come and see Mike Yurcich coach and potentially play for him.
You mentioned Edmondson, one of the rare offers at quarterback offered this spring. J.J. Cole and Drew Viotto are a couple names I would keep tabs on in the 2023 class. Both of them coming away feeling like they're going to be kept tabs on from Mike Yurcich and the Penn State staff. No offers materializing. And then a 2024 name. I know you've got one that you spoke with, but I'll continue to say keep an eye on Dante Reno again at a Loomis Chafee school in Connecticut. That's where you find Alessandro Lorenzetti, this new 2022 offensive line target. Same school, same program. He's reclassified upon a transfer. So he's 2024, long distance here. He's starting to generate some Power Five offers. And I think he's a guy that, based on his interactions with Yurcich, and this has been kind of brewing for a couple months, getting there, throwing live, having a follow-up conversation, keep him on that radar if you weren't already.
I'm going with Ryan Puglisi from right up the road in Massachusetts. This kid that does not have an offer yet. Technically, I think Boston College is probably going to offer any day soon or any day here, but he has no high school tape whatsoever. Did not have a season last year because of COVID. Came out and just threw the lights out. And I think Penn State was really impressed by what he brings to the table. Wouldn't be shocked if he popped up on campus for another camp later in the summer. But that's my guy to take out of the Northeast. It's so way too early to be talking about 2024 quarterbacks, but that's kind of the way the position has come along. And, 2023, it almost seems like you've got a bunch of guys committed, in that class already, or a handful of guys committed in that class. And it only takes a couple of top level guys for those dominoes to start falling. Interested to see where the board ends up. Where does Cameron Edge, who is transferring from DeMatha back to Smyrna, Delaware. Eli Holstein's a guy that they offered out of Louisiana. He went to Ohio State and got an offer this week. And of course, Dante Moore from Martin Luther King in Detroit has been a guy that's been on the radar for a long time. So this quarterback board is going to continue to evolve, but I think they're going to see a lot of quality guys come through in June and July to get a closer look at Mike Yurcich.
And we're talking long-term guys here, and it gets late early in quarterback recruiting, but what do you make of the couple examples of junior college passers coming in, throwing for Yurcich? So far to this point, no new offers, no new opportunities Penn State presenting based on what we understand, but what does that signify to you at this stage?
Just signifies they're looking for pretty much anything to try and make this room a little bit deeper, especially we mentioned a little bit earlier in the show about Jordan Vanderberg committing, coming in and playing, or excuse me, joining the team right away. That could be a situation where they go to the junior college ranks. Nate Lance was in today to throw for them. They had another one last week. So it could be a situation where they're looking for immediate depth. They're looking for somebody that can come in, probably not going to unseat Sean Clifford, but at the same time, you've got three scholarship quarterbacks in that room for this year, and that doesn't seem to be changing, unless they would do something like this. The transfer portal has not been as fruitful as they would have hoped after the spring, and right now that's kind of an option that they have to explore.
The transfer portal is a big topic of conversation that you'll hear on our next episode with Andy Frank, Penn State's player personnel director. So again, just want to tease that conversation one last time. And now let's get to our five-star mailbag to wrap up this episode. And this is a fun question, and it's in the spirit of the season here, Sean. What is the most impressive performance you've seen in a prospect camp setting? We're not restricting this to Penn State camps, although lately that's certainly where our focus has been. I had a chance to be on the national camp circuit for a few years back before I joined Penn State. So I'm going to start there, Sean, and then I got a Penn State experience that I wanted to share and not going to be a surprise name. But a few guys to me that ended up at Alabama, Calvin Ridley at the 2014 opening finals was just truly unstoppable. He ended up making an Elite 11 finalist out of Blake Barnett, who went to Alabama, then bounced around a few other schools, didn't really develop, but he was just targeting Ridley nonstop. And I think Ridley was already like 19 and a half at that time. He was an older senior, to say the least, but he validated every five-star hype that was around him, number one receiver in the country. Now he's probably on your fantasy football team with the Atlanta Falcons, or you want him on your fantasy team. The other guy who ended up in Alabama and just tore it up when I saw him was Tua Tagovailoa, back of the 2016 Elite 11 finals, first for a four-day span in Los Angeles, and then for a week up at Nike's World Headquarters, where the opening finals used to be. he was flawless. And by the end of the thing, he had like everybody gravitating toward him. He had dozens of guys coming to his Bible study at the opening. And then he was out there dealing and he won Elite 11 MVP. Next thing we know, he was throwing the game winning touchdown as a true freshman at Alabama. So the legend of Tua Tagovailoa that developed in Tuscaloosa, a lot of its roots are in Hawaii, of course, but there was a stop along the way that I was able to see firsthand. And it was an extraordinary experience to see a quarterback prospect not just show up and play that way, but have all these alpha dogs and all these blue chip recruits just kind of following and waiting for his next move each and every day out there.
I kind of went the opposite. I did go with just Penn State camps for the most part. I will say Brian Bresee was so incredibly talented and awesome every time I saw him. His spin move in a camp setting probably shouldn't have worked as much as it did, but from the time that kid was a sophomore to the time he was done, he was just incredible. Going back, I mean, so they opened up camps for us, I guess Bill O'Brien's first year, and really was different, just a different scenario than we were used to. I mean, usually, you know, you just heard about things maybe a couple of weeks after camp or something like that. Now you were getting involved and or not getting involved, but getting in there, getting photos and getting everything. And one of the first camps that I remember, Will Fuller stepped up. I think this was in 2012. Will Fuller stepped up and he did not have an offer at that point. But by the time he left, there was no question he was going to be a big time target for Penn State. Eventually did commit and then recommitted in that conversation, that infamous conversation with all the commits with Bill O'Brien, and then flipped to Notre Dame later in the process. But yeah, he was just incredible. Like just every, and I'd seen him in camp before and he was good, but he wasn't at that level. That was just one of those special ones that step out. Another one of those early camps, Minkah Fitzpatrick was there. He was awesome as an underclassman, and of course end up being a five-star kid, being a first-round pick, and now is really good for the Steelers. That was a guy you don't say can't miss very often, but like you saw that when he was, I think he was a sophomore at that time, just was so awesome. The one that I didn't see that everyone raves about at Penn State was John Reed, and this is I think he came up for, this is before no, maybe not before one day camps, but he came up for a couple of days, did an overnight camp, and he was phenomenal, I think, going into his sophomore or junior season. And that's actually one that we wrote about, that we wrote about after Bill O'Brien drafted John Reed, that he saw this camp performance and he was really high on him. And then, of course, you got the Penn State guys, Micah Parsons coming out and playing receiver. We talked about that one on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, just schooling Kenny Bennett. In fact, Mark Brennan sent us a picture a couple of weeks ago, or actually last week, about Micah going up and playing receiver. I was like, oh yeah, we just talked about that. He was awesome on that one. Chris Godwin was phenomenal at camp. Ryan Bates was really good. Michael Mennett was awesome when he was, I think he camped every year and every year he just got better. Curtis Jacobs, you know, flashed that five-star potential. Tight end is always really interesting because it's either a position where it's got some a large concentration of absolute dudes or it's got pretty much nothing. Pat Freiermuth was really good at the whiteout camp a couple years ago. There was one camp that Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson were working together and they look like they look like big time potential guys and they both got their offer that day, tested really well, did everything really well. So there were a couple of Penn State guys that stuck out. Of course, Caleb Williams, everybody knows I'm a big Caleb Williams fan and I have been since he was a freshman and I saw him in camp. And I was looking through my old camp stuff because I went down this rabbit hole as we were prepping for this and I took way too long to look at this one. But Penn State had Darnell Savage on campus. He worked out as a running back and a receiver, and eventually was a first round pick as a safety for the Green Bay Packers. It's fun to go back, and I knew he had camp, but I didn't remember the specifics of it. It was fun to look back and say, okay, there's a future first round pick who came out and thought he was going to be a running back, thought he was going to be a receiver. So those are the cool things that you sort of unearth when you go back and look at these things in 2013, 2014, what have you.
By the way, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was a great pick by you, was probably the only defensive back who stood a chance against Calvin Ridley out at the opening that year. Naturally, they were teammates in the same recruiting class going to Alabama. That's the way of the world with Nick Saban in it right now. But yeah, Minkah Fitzpatrick was outstanding. One more for New Jersey special, because I got to mention a Jersey guy. Rashawn Gary was absolutely dominant pretty much every time I saw him in 2014 and 2015. He's a guy that whenever he showed up, you had to watch him because there was just no lineman on either side of the the ball as ready to go to college as he was. Didn't materialize for him the way I thought it would at Michigan, but at the end of the road, he was a first-round pick. He's getting paid a lot of money by the Green Bay Packers. And the best prospect I saw while on the Rutgers recruiting staff was Janoris Jenkins. I almost forgot about this one. We had a bunch of kids from Pahokee High School up one summer for a week-long camp in a 7-on-7 deal. And Janoris Jenkins was just flat out the best defensive back prospect I had seen at that point, and probably for a long time afterwards at the high school level. And he went on to obviously make a ton of money at the NFL. And Micah Parsons, I mean, I got to point out one guy from Penn State that I've seen and covering the team since 2017. It would be that 7-on-7 tournament in 2017. And it was just so much going into it, set against the back drop of Beaver Stadium, Sean. You got Parsons up. He had decommitted from the program, I don't know, 6-7 weeks prior. So there was like this kind of tension in the air, a little bit of iciness in the air. Micah wasn't really excited to talk about recruiting with reporters at that time either. And anyone who remembers what Penn State Twitter looked like at that point probably remembers Micah Parsons was a bit of a target at that point. He wasn't afraid to chop it up as well. So all that in play, it's my first time covering one of these kind of events at Penn State. All he does is go out there, play wide receiver, play defensive back, wins MVP of this entire tournament. Harrisburg wins a championship. James Franklin hands in this MVP trophy. And you're just wondering, is he going to come back and play for Penn State? Is he going to come back to that stadium in a different uniform and play against Penn State? Everything was up in the air and on the table at that point for Micah Parsons' recruitment. And he just went out there and he balled out.
Well, that's funny because like that same kind of scenario happened, 2 years later, where Julian Fleming's out there, and Julian Fleming's doing awesome things, a tremendously talented kid. And I don't remember if you were there or not, but just looking across the field and seeing the tension in that conversation between James Franklin and
I'll never forget it.
Yeah. That was something. So, you didn't quite get the outcome there, but it was kind of the same thing. That's kind of the cool things that you look to when you go to camps, and especially the prospect camps. It's kind of different when you go to Under Armour or opening or something like that. There's probably a higher concentration of kids that you're looking at. And when you do the prospect camps, there's just a handful for whatever given date is out there. So you pick up on the little things like that. You see the kind of interactions between players, between coaches and things like that. And that's kind of what makes these performances pretty memorable.
Well, get us going on camps. We can talk forever, but it's we get to do it again, Sean. We get to talk about prospect camps. Hopefully we'll get to see them ourselves, but for now we'll rely on feedback and reporting and the information that our team at 24/7 Sports and Lions 24/7 has been able to do, starting with yourself, a lot on Lions247.com right now. For those of you who jumped on with our latest subscription push, and we are among network leaders for adding subscriptions, welcome to the party. For those of you who have been with us, hope you've enjoyed the coverage. We got a lot more coming your way here in June into the summer. And as mentioned, Sean, finally, and without further delay, Andy Frank, Director of Player Personnel for Penn State, will be on with us next episode. We promise.
Yeah. We're talking visits in June. We're talking name, image, and likeness. We're talking Kalen King. We're talking a little bit of everything with Andy. It was fun. I'm not sure actually exactly how long it ended up, but it was very informative conversation. We're going
to more time than he needed to give us on a week like this. I will say that.
I mean, I'm not surprised if he would have left that interview, gone back and fell asleep in his office, because they've been putting in the hours, that recruiting staff. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. We'll build our next episode around that one. Yeah, give it the time that it deserves. And hopefully we gave Jordan Vanderberg and all the other topics that we covered enough time this evening.
Well, we appreciate everyone for listening. And as we, the narrative is changing. We are talking recruiting as it evolves and as it comes our way. And it is no longer stagnant, and it is a beautiful thing. We will talk about next weekend a little bit, look ahead as we confirm more visitors. And as we said, Andy Frank on the next show as well. Stay with us. Subscribe on anywhere you find your podcast. Apple Podcasts is where you can find our mailbag. Drop your 5-star rating and review and your question right there. We'll get to it on a future episode. On behalf of Sean, I am Tyler. Thanks for listening to the Lions 24/7 podcast.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds. Magnificent! And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.